Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Here we are again to Menha Radio. And I want to introduce myself. I am Chief Cloud Piler.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Now we're on to Menha Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I am Chief Cloud Piler. I began to say, but then I got the opportunity to listen to our producer, Mr. Ignacio Garcia. What a great guy. But I'm often asked, what is Menha? And so I'm going to go ahead and just read what is on the introduction. If you tune in and into Blog Talk, you'll see there's an introduction to the show. But this is actually pretty good. Since its inception in 2002, Menha Indigenous Traditional Organization, that's what ITO means, has worked tirelessly to restore Indigenous ancestral wisdom, ethics, and true holism to a suffering earth ravaged by the unmitigated industrial commercialization and consumerist reductionism of the Western world. I love the way you wrote that, Jonathan. Peeling back the layers of cunning corporate marketing to expose deceit and cleverly fabricated faddish representations that mislead seekers and advocates of natural health. Our Pele, which are our ministers, strive each and every day to bring real answers about health in every form to the front lines. We Menha are the vanguard for the restoration of the sacred in natural healing. We invite you to walk and talk sacred with us. I'm here with Chief Wailamutkin, who is the principal, or the elected principal medicine chief of the Menha. That is an elected position for 5 years. The Great Council meets, and he has the honor of holding that position at this time. I am the president of the United Council of Menha Churches. And again, it is our great privilege and honor to have this opportunity to talk on the radio.
I was kind of angry when I wrote that.
Angry? You shouldn't be angry. That's just well said.
Okay. It wasn't really angry, but...
Well, you know,
I was frustrated.
A little fed up. I'm a naturopath. I'm a national board certified naturopath. And in the state where I live, that's pretty dang rare. I've come to find out.
Yeah.
It was kind of a surprise to find out there's so few national board certified naturopaths anywhere. But in Missouri, there's no naturopathic licensure law.
Right.
So frankly, as we've said in other shows, in Missouri, not a lot of people know what naturopathic medicine is. You mention it, and most everybody said, oh, you're a homeopath. Well, yes. Well, in most schools, homeopathy is a modality that you have to be certified in, and I'm a certified homeopath, but that's part of my training as a naturopath. So what I want to really kind of obsess on tonight is, what is this thing that we call naturopathy, physiopathy, and where's it going in our day? Now, there's some states where there are schools that are graduating students right and left, and so they have, in some areas like Florida, California, for example, they have a whole lot more naturopaths and physiopaths on the ground, and so people have a general running definition in their heads. But I'm just going to go ahead and use the definition that I had to memorize in school. So bear in mind what we concentrate on is naturopathy, which is the, I guess if you were looking at an analog in the modern medical temple, it would be internal medicine.
Yeah.
And the physiopath in I don't know if there is an analog in the medical temple, but the physiopath is a naturopath who focuses more on the body work or the structure of the body. More like the orthopedist.
Yeah, physiopathy is synonymous with naturopathy.
Well, yeah, they mean the same thing.
We all specialize in different things.
Right, but generally our physiopaths in the Menha, our ministers of physiopathy, are those who really specialize in the body structure and foundation. The naturopath, the ministry of naturopathy, focuses on the internal, more organ-based or metabolism and, systems-based natural medicine. But what is natural medicine? Well, by definition, where I came from, where I graduated from years and years ago, I had to memorize a definition that should, in all the states where there's licensure, and there are a few, there's I think 11 or 12 states that have licensure, naturopath, the practice of naturopathic medicine, the practice of naturopathic medicine is when one uses naturally occurring plant, animal, mineral, water, air, light, and sound and other energy modalities to strengthen and enhance the body's intrinsic healing ability. So the key there is we use the modalities involving plant medicine, animal medicine, mineral medicine, water medicine, air medicine, light and sound medicine, and other energy medicines to strengthen and enhance the body's intrinsic healing ability. Naturally occurring is a key issue in all forms of natural medicine. And there's the dig. More and more we're finding that the materials used in what passes for natural medicine today are not naturally occurring anymore, any more than Wonder Bread is naturally occurring. Okay, everything in Wonder Bread is food, I guess. You could make that argument if you're really dumb. Well, that wasn't very nice, was it? You can make the argument that everything in Wonder Bread is food, but it's certainly not natural.
But it says so on their new line.
Oh, they have a
Wonder Bread natural.
Okay,
natural line.
Okay, we can
it's
give
even
that
in green natural.
Oh, it's packaged in green, really? Oh my gosh.
Naturals is green.
Oh, the word naturals is spelled in green, so that makes it naturopathic, doesn't it? No, it does not. It absolutely does not. Naturopaths and physiopaths must have competence in the workings of the body. That's a given. They go to school. They engage in educative histories. They really have to study, or they should have to study, to understand the working of the human body, the animal bodies, or whatever bodies that they're dealing with. I mean, I work with bodies of land as well, and you have to understand the nature of soil, the nature of nature, to heal the earth. So naturopaths and physiopaths must have competence in the workings of the body, the nature of wellness and of disease, and that includes the behaviors of wellness and disease, the nature or the properties and mechanisms of actions of the materials and the modalities they intend to employ. That's a lot of competence. That's a ton of competence. You don't get that from webinars.
No.
So how is competent? It looks to me like in every state where there's licensure, where in every state where the legislature has had to sit down and scrutinize this thing that we call natural medicine, in every one of those states, competence becomes king, absolute king. And that's fitting. I mean, you don't want to put your body in the hands, or your wellness, or your particular illness, in the hands of somebody who's incompetent.
It's of such importance that even in our great council in 2010, 2011, wrote it right into our code of ethical conduct.
Right. It's a very, very important part of the code of ethical conduct, without which you may not represent yourself as a minister of healing in the Namenha. So this is a big deal. If you're a Namenha minister and you're representing the practice of your healing religion, but you have no competence, then you're kind of in double trouble, aren't you? You're in trouble with the state, because usually that's going to exceed scope of whatever license you do have, or could be practicing without a license that's required. You know, in corporate situations, or not corporate, commercial situations that require licensure, you're in double trouble. Let's talk about how competence is determined. How is, they say, for example, for the states that have licensure, how does the state figure that you have competence? How do they know? Do you just write them a letter and say, hey, I'm competent, I can set bones?
No.
Probably not, right?
No, they have select schools that they have vetted and decided are the ones that naturopaths must have attended
in order to apply for licensure.
Okay, so for all the states that require licensure, there are but a couple of schools that are actually vetted. And let's take one, for example, the John Bastyr University, because it is a very good example of competence. It's the only school that I know of naturopathic medicine that requires residency study.
The other one that's usually included in the list requires two runs of case studies.
More than vetted
case studies.
Yeah,
they're
the undergraduate, the master's level and the doctorate level case studies, and that would be internship. I like to use Bastyr as an example, number one, because they do require residency. You can get your doctorate. You can spend anywhere from $39,000 to $50,000, $60,000 to get your degree, your piece of paper that you wear around your neck when you step out of the university, when you're all done and you're a doctor of naturopathy. But then you still have to go work in a residency program for as much as a year, sometimes 2 years, depending on the state where you're seeking licensure. Residency is that important. You can book learn or internet learn about anything. You can spend the time on YouTube, and I guess you can be a doctor by spending time on YouTube, right? Well, wrong. You cannot webinar yourself to a level of competence that is reliable or responsible. People's lives are in your hands. And I kind of get a little bit uppity, and that's where the introduction here is kind of interesting, because we are moving into a time when most of the schools, other than just a few, are no longer requiring or never did require a residency program to determine competency. Well, competency is determined by an expert. You have to have somebody that was able to analyze your work and your behavior, your responses, and deem them competent because they themselves are competent to do so.
Well, back in your day, when you were getting your degree, it was a board of doctors. It was an association vetted your residency and your case study.
Right. I didn't sit for the board exam, the national board exam, until six sets of case studies had been vetted in all the modalities that I certified in. And and even after finishing that level of education, I was not satisfied and went back and took, I had to go to other schools to feel like I had gained any competence. And then when I sat for the board exam, it was a long and grueling thing. And I did okay. Obviously I did okay because they issued me the doctorate. That's how it used to be done. But today, you know what? You can go to some of the schools and you can listen to 12 to 16 hours of webinars and do a few assignments and not really do anything. And those schools will give you a certificate with a faddish name. A faddish name that does not mean the practice of naturopathy or physiopathy or natural medicine, really. One of them I'd like to mention is this, and I mentioned it last week as well, it's the Certified Natural Healthcare Professional or Practitioner.
Yeah.
Well, I went back to the schools that offer that degree program, and I looked at it, and it really is a webinar program. I think there's 16 webinars or something like that you listen to.
A couple of assignments, I think.
A couple of assignments from each one.
And a final exam.
You do have to pass a final exam, but they give you a certificate and they lead you to believe that you can go out and be some kind of practitioner. Well, when you get into the guts and plumbing of their catalog and you talk to the people on the other end of the phone, you find out, no, you misunderstand. That degree program is part of a naturopathic doctor program. It's the introductory part before you even get to the herbology. All the courses there are introductory, and it's designed to help you be able to coach someone as in determining what type of modality they need to go explore when they're ill, coaching them to find a practitioner. But
we know of many CNHPs that are out there practicing as some kind of expert, actually prescribing things like vitamins and herbs and modalities. And
in a lot of cases, it's massage therapists and it's you know, certified chiropractors, individuals that take these minute courses after their major training.
As continuing ed.
And they go into the other fields of natural healing, the nutrition and the herbology, through this CNHP course and begin exceeding scope almost immediately finishing their course.
Right, the minute they put their feet on the ground, they're exceeding scope. A chiropractor can't do this. A massage therapist, come not near me.
We've seen this over and over. People, they are led to believe, we've seen it in almost every single face, when we've met people who are prescribing herbs and medicines after having taken one of these courses, the CNHP courses, it's there in every single one. They have been led to believe, or they have not been informed, one or the other, that they are not certifiably competent through that course.
But their colleges
prescribe medicine.
Right, but their colleges, the colleges that certify them, admit that there's no competence conveyed in those courses. The reason you cannot claim any competence, and it would be unwise for the institutions to claim competence in the area, is because there is no case study requirement and there's no residency. These are absolutely required. But I was shocked to find out that most of them include the CNHP type curriculum as a preparatory to the most fundamental and initial stages of your study
program,
you know, herbology and that sort of thing. Well, that's very interesting. But even if you were to go to John Bastyr University, how is competence measured?
Oh, at Bastyr?
Yeah, or the University of Nemenha. How is competence measured?
Well, we use case studies, residency, experience.
So there are case studies that are vetted by a master, by an expert.
Always by a doctor.
Then the practitioner or the student actually practices side by side, goes into a residency program for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Their apprenticeship is a year. Their journeyman is a year. They become a master, and that's just in the herbology portion.
Yeah, that's not the rest of physiopathy.
Thereafter, they are in practice as an apothecary, learning the other modalities of physiopathy or naturopathy, and they are side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with someone who is at doctorate level, one of the regents of the college themselves, or the professors of the courses, or in clinic. Well, every single one of them are in clinic with the expert who can look at what they're doing, analyze what they're doing, call it what it is, and certify it.
Yeah,
certify it if it's competence and direct the student into another path if it's incompetence. But man, you bring up that there isn't a certified level of competence in this ANHP to someone who has obtained that and expect to be called names.
Look, even when dealing with transcript evaluation, because we do get those students.
Oh, we do. Yeah. We get transfer students.
Especially those who have taken courses, prestigious courses, in prestigious schools. They want to know what their training level's up to, measures up to in University of Nemenha. So we have on staff, we have in our Board of Regents, our Pelly, that look over these transcript evaluations, these applications, to naturopathic doctors.
From other schools.
We have two doctors of physiopathy, and we have a medical doctor.
Exactly. Pretty prestigious medical doctor.
And so there we have a handful of highly competent individuals who have paid their dues, who have expanded their studies, who have written curriculum because the studies they had to take did not satisfy them.
Right.
And a transcript evaluation is weighed against the courses that are available in the University of
Nemenha. So you have experts, absolute verifiable experts, who have the competence to look at the progress, to look at the behavior, look at the responses of a student to actual hands-on experience in clinic, and vet them. vet their competence, and if they find competence, they're there to certify it. So it has to be certified. Now, what's interesting is when you sit down with somebody who's, say, for example, myself, who's meeting a new supplicant coming in, they're not getting anywhere with the course that they were taking, and it pays to sit down and have a conversation with them. By and large, in every case, when I ask them about their previous experiences, they have never, ever asked any questions of their practitioner about competence. You know why that is? Because...
Well, I don't know why. I would... I always ask.
I always ask. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Every single practitioner would never have a supplicant if they didn't puff themselves up.
Right.
If they didn't actually present a facade of competence, even though there isn't any there. Especially when there isn't any there. And what I think is really interesting is that a whole lot of incompetent practitioners default to tools that they can use that don't require them to have competence. The angels are on their side. You know, all you need to do is learn a procedure and you can muscle test anything. The angels are on your side.
Oh, yeah.
All you need to do...
We've had students who try to submit muscle testing in their transcripts, and our Pelly have had to just tell them, like, you won't get much credit for that.
You won't get any equivalency. The pendulum, you may have a personal belief that radionics will tell you exactly what is needed, but you also have to have a belief that the body will never, ever, ever lie to you. And folks, let me give you an example of how really wrong that is. Let's take an example of Marge. Marge is a lady who had several children. She had 5 or 6 children. She's now in her late 40s, maybe early 50s. This is kind of more common among women who have had several pregnancies. All of a sudden, she has some pain in her abdomen that won't allow her to lay down. It's radiating up into her left shoulder, into her neck, and it's horrifyingly painful. Rushed to the hospital. She is having a splenic aneurysm. In other words, the splenic artery going into the back of the spleen has ruptured wide open. And again, this is something that happens with women who have multiple childbirth. It's not common, but it's more common with them than
it
is anybody else.
But it's commonly associated with those.
Well, it's like I say, it's not a common thing to happen at all, but it's much more common with those women. So here's the thing. There's this big artery that's busted wide open. It's just pumping blood first into the spleen, backing up in the liver, and then into the cavity there. The splenic cavity is kind of a little sac inside the abdomen, and it'll take a while to fill up itself. But once it's filled up, that blood will flow quickly down into the abdominal cavity. But it's an interesting thing. While that's happening, all the muscles of the arteries and the veins act independently of what is really going on to keep blood flowing to the organs and the brain. Because without sufficient oxygen, the heart, the lungs, the brain will die, and they'll die very quickly. So here's this thing. The body would, if you were muscle testing this person, and the body never lies, the muscle testing is going to say that there is a wide open artery and we need to stop the flow of blood into the splenic cavity, into that spleen area. But the body itself, lying to the rest of the body, by neurotransmission and by hormones and by all the principles that apply, because everything is connected, actually pushes more blood, actually causes the heart to beat harder, the blood pressure to the heart rate to increase, to push more blood. So really, the body is lying to itself. So don't ever tell me, don't ever talk to anybody. Let me give you just a little pointer. If you're one of those people who will tout that, who will spout that kind of hubris that the body will never lie to you, that is a clear indicator that you do not know the body or the workings of the body, and that you're speaking out of ignorance, or you're simply, I mean, to put a word to it, you're simply gossiping. You're simply repeating the words of some author who got it wrong in the first place. Please think about this. The body does lie.
All the time
it lies. You know, we have to get our brains around that. That's where muscle testing is not reliable. Muscle testing does not cover all the functions of the body at once. And the body is not, you know, it's not 1.5 trillion individual units working solely on their own little project. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, that's a lot of cells working together with a whole lot of mechanisms of action going on. So, okay, how then, I mean, competence is determined by a demonstration of itself. The demonstration can only come through case, as far as I'm concerned, through case study and hands-on residency.
Residency is
key. And so those programs that are out there that have no residency, that have no case studies, do not deliver competence. So the poor slob who gets the certificate as a naturopath, or a holistic practitioner, or what have you, they have their piece of paper, they're graduated, they've spent their thousands and thousands, and they set their feet on the road. They are setting their feet on the road without competence, and then they begin to realize it in practice. And that is a very uncomfortable position.
Mm-hmm.
That is what drove me right back to school. Because it is a very uncomfortable position to have the life of a person in your hands, the health of a person right in your hands, and find that you don't know what you really are talking about. And you're allowed to tell yourself in private, oh my gosh, you know, you go home and you and your poor family sitting around the dinner table and say, oh my gosh, I saw this lady, did you won't believe it. And they're looking at you like, what in the world are you even in this for? You don't know what you're doing. Yeah, those faces drove me back to school. Those faces drove me into seeking real competence through case study, through residency, through experience getting. Now, Bastyr does this. They require. They give you a certificate, and then before you can actually, or they give you the doctorate, but before they will actually certify you ready to take a board exam in some state, you have to demonstrate, or you have to report from an actual doctor with whom you have worked in the clinic for 1 or 2 years, depending on your specialty. Then you go, they certify you because that doctor is able to say, yeah, they've really paid their dues. You know, they have the experiential wisdom now to match what they thought they learned in the books or on the internet or whatever.
Yeah.
in real working terms. But usually when you finish your residency with one of these naturopaths, you have to start all over again outside their market area.
You have your diploma, you have your shingle, and
your license,
and you say bye-bye.
You have to move away.
2 years of your life, 2 years of your training.
Yeah,
move somewhere outside the city, or you know, at least 50 miles.
Completely outside, so that you can't take those people with you, right? That's usually the case. It's usually by contract of your residency, and that sucks. Can we say that sucks? Yeah, that sucks. It really, really sucks.
You're already in debt with your student loans, and somehow you have to manage to probably mortgage your home to start a business 50 miles away.
Yeah, see, now, how did you put that? peeling back the layers of cunning corporate marketing to expose deceit and cleverly fabricated faddish representations that mislead seekers and advocates of natural health. What are we actually talking about? Yeah, this is what we're talking about. You know, the colleges are actually pimping for the Nutricomafia. And who are they pimping? They're pimping the natural healthcare prostitutes who are their graduates.
When you're done with the course, when you have your diploma, your license, and your shingle, you have to make money fast.
So how do you make money? You're broke. You're in Dutch.
You have to go straight to the consumerist economy because that's the only way to get a whole lot of money fast. You have to bring people in and sell them products.
Right.
And the products have to be snazzy. They have to be sexy. They have to have great marketing behind them. Otherwise, the customer won't buy it.
Right. And they have to be within the acceptable price range.
You have to sell a lot of them.
You have to sell a lot of them. So you become a drug pusher. And the drugs that you're pushing are green. Just like the green writing on the Wonder Bread bag. Is that naturopathic medicine? It is not.
But
not any more than the Wonder Bread is.
But it had flourishes.
It had green
it
flourishes.
It had green flourishes.
Well, okay, you'll have green flourishes in your toilet if you swallow those green pills, too. But, you know, that still isn't natural medicine. Okay, so we've bashed enough about the other schools. I have to tell you, as a naturopath myself, I'm pretty biased. I'm biased on the negative side.
Yeah, it's not a matter of just the schools themselves. It's a matter of what the industry has done to natural healing.
That's right. You've talked to medical doctors, and one of their biggest lamentations is that the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry has tied their hands. They go to school for years and years and years to gain competence to practice this thing called allopathic medicine. Then they get into practice and find out what they're not allowed to do.
Right. Even if your education in natural healing is good and it's verified and it's board certified, once you get out into practice, you are controlled by nutraceutical marketing interests.
So it's the same. So really, it's allopathy, isn't it?
Exactly.
Remember what we decided allopathy was? Allopathy, by the definition of the word, is to treat what's wrong. It's to treat what?
It is to give treatment to reverse symptom.
When we take the word apart.
It's to give a treatment.
No, etymologically. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Pathy is. So essentially you are going after and you are battling. You're fighting. You're working to destroy. Pathy, to kill. It really means to kill what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Kill what is wrong and you'll make everything right. That's allopathy. They do it with drugs. They do it with procedures.
Uh-huh.
And in many ways, it's a miracle. I mean, surgery.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
we're talking about Marge with her aneurysm. You know, the doctor opens her up, reaches back in, pushes with his index and middle finger on the great aorta, the aortic artery going, or the going into the splenic artery, pushes it against the spine, stops the blood flow, and stabilizes the patient while they fix the problem and bypass the aneurysm. With his finger.
Yeah.
Now, you can't do that with any green pill that I have ever seen. There is no pill you can reach back. But you're going to have people who come into a CNHP with a pain in their gut and not be able to determine between heartburn and an aneurysm.
Yeah.
That is what we have today because the colleges and the nutraceutical industry have followed exactly what the medical schools, and the insurance industry and the pharmacomafia have done to allopathy. So really, what you have going on in natural medicine today in most places and what is actually taught in most schools is to prepare you to go out and push green pills and push black liquid. But push them from bottles, behind labels, with the permission of the corporation.
Yeah, it's even in the educational orientations.
CNHP
is an introductory course required by the specific school's naturopathic doctor degree. So before you even get into the naturopathy itself, you're already gone through an introductory
orientation of what
nutraceuticals are available.
Right. What's available and how to sell it. That is a shame. That's a shambles.
Yeah.
Anybody, I give this advice to anybody who is under the care of a natural practitioner of any kind. Go into your next appointment. Sit down with them. Close the door. Look them straight in the eye and say, "Okay, now, show me your competence. Demonstrate your competence." And if they don't, first of all, if the first thing they do is not lean back and point at a piece of paper with an expert's signature on it, if that's not the first thing they do, walk out the door. If the second thing they do is not describe there, if they describe no residency and no case studies, then strongly consider walking out the door, mm-hmm. even if they have the piece of paper on the wall. Because you're going to have to, in order to really get a demonstration of their competence, you're going to have to call that person who signed that document, and that may not be possible anymore. That's how serious it's become. It has literally become that serious. Let me tell you what graduates of the University of Nemenha do in their offices. This is what their competence allows them to do. I've had Jonathan call up the chart of services, that the naturopath, physiopath ministry allows, this is what the individual who has that certificate from the university really is competent to do.
Yeah, this is what we do. This is who we are. And this is what we teach.
This is what we teach. So first of all, the whole health and wellness assessment, which is general physiopathy. This involves history, evaluation, dietary inventory, symptom condition analysis, and in most cases, dark field microvideography. Now, history evaluation is important. Medical history mm-hmm. is very important. Dietary inventory understands, well, first of all, your history evaluation understands that you're going to have some basic competence in pathology, or you wouldn't even know what they were talking about, right?
Medical terminology.
Medical terminology and pathology, what's going on? You know, when somebody says, I'm on so many milligrams of insulin daily, you have to know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Dietary inventory is going to understand or assume that you have some competence, a high degree of competence in nutrition. Symptom condition analysis, present triage and what is actually going on, mechanisms of action, wellness and illness, anatomy, physiology. You see mm-hmm. where competence comes in here. And then, of course, microvideography is looking right in. And you'd have to know the hematology to understand what you're looking at, right? So then we come down to the physical, physiopathic triage. How to determine what is going wrong in the physical frame. You know, the muscles are all attached to the bones, and the attachments are all, you know, you've got your connective tissues. And
is this a matter of internal physiopathy or a matter of structural physiopathy?
Right, because here, let's take Marge again. Marge is having an aneurysm that had nothing to do with her back, but she was experiencing pain not only in her abdomen, but also up over mm-hmm. her left, in the left side of her back, her shoulder, her arm, her neck. It's very important to have competence in that area, or you could, you know, start working and massaging that shoulder while she bleeds right out on your table.
Yep.
Because she's got an aneurysm in the splenic connection the arterial connection into the spleen. So let's go on. The master or the mental emotional physiopathic triage. We use the medicine wheel to get at what is emotionally making the person tick. That understands that you have competence in using the medicine wheel of the Nemenha, of the Sacred Sahaptin Healing Way, and that is a big area of counseling. Master apothecary, this understands a competence in applied pharmacognosy and master herbology. What that means is important, because in the old days, I mean, even the old days of allopathic medicine,
mm-hmm.
the doctors had to learn how to make the medicines, because there was no pharmacomafia at the time. They had to make medicine. Even as early ago, you know, I'm 22 years into this, so I'm relatively new in naturopathic medicine. I had to learn how to recognize all the herbs, how to grow them, where they grew, recognize them by smell and by taste, and also how to make all the standard medicines.
Mm-hmm.
I had to know these things and prove by case study that I knew it. It had to be vetted by an expert, by a pharmacognosist, to demonstrate that I knew the stuff. They don't even teach that anymore. They teach
nope.
that mullein is good for the lungs, and, you know, echinacea is good for the immune. whatever that is. And, you know, golden seal is good for candida.
Let's not get
good for that. good for. Let's not go there. Right. They're not taught. I mean, they know how to make a lotion. They know how to make a tincture, but they don't know how to customize any of it. They don't know how to make the therapeutic doses, how to put them together, and how to make the medicine that works. So then this master apothecary also understands a competence in custom herbal apothecary preparations, because far from the notion that the corporate nutrico mafia has sold everybody on, that everybody in America is the same, is made the same, has the same symptoms, needs the same everything, and can be sold the same bottle of green pills. That is not the case. We are not cookie cutter sufferers. So we shouldn't have cookie cutter supplements, right?
No.
The custom herbal apothecary learns how to take that individual sufferer and modify and customize for that sufferer. That's a big, important thing. They're not. The Menha ministers are not reaching back on the wall and pulling off a bottle and saying,
no,
you know, here.
Like, I seldom ever give somebody exactly the same medicine as the person, as another person that I've seen. It's always modified some way, because everyone
is so specific. Yeah, think about it. How many of your sufferers are the same?
None of them.
Absolutely none.
Well,
I've been in this for years and years.
I take it back. There were a couple of people who had exactly the same affliction. It was Epstein-Barr.
Oh, well, yeah.
And the formula that we used for the one individual with Epstein-Barr was the same for the second person with Epstein-Barr.
Their symptoms were exactly the same. But
exactly.
How often does that
not
happen?
Not very often.
No, it's not, two in 3 months is not enough to run a corporation.
No.
Right?
And it's not enough to put a bottle on the shelf and say, Epstein-Barr formula or virus formula.
Right, and I'm not going to hand that bottle to, you know, to Mr. Jones and say, Mr. Epstein, this is for you. You know, Epstein and Barr, you look like that kind. You profile that, so, you know, this is you. Go home now. No, it doesn't work that way.
Because the similar formula for someone with Epstein-Barr and some other symptoms required a different formulation.
Custom.
Some similar herbs, some of the same herbs for the formula, but it had to be tweaked.
Custom. Yeah, you know, that also requires an understanding of the nature of the diseases themselves, because there are, in most of the infectious diseases, there are several phases of the infection.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, well, you know, you take echinacea for the immune without any idea of where in the infection phases you are, because, you know, echinacea may be good for the immune, but it may only also be good for one of the seven phases of influenza.
Right.
If you give it for the wrong phase, it's not good for the immune anymore, right? Okay, so the master apothecary also understands a competence in supplementation and reform, dietary supplementation and dietary reform. What's going on in the person's habitual diet that could be predisposing them to not be able to take advantage of the intrinsic healing ability of their own body? All of these things are part of the Schrader plant medicine curriculum that we utilize in the college, and it is a high degree just in the plant area.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pharmacognosy,
yeah.
the apothecary in the apothecary. Okay, so now structural assessment. Again, a history evaluation of injury and strain and things that are entirely foundational, muscle, bone, connective tissue, and so forth.
Neuromusculoskeletal.
Right, neuromuscular. Yeah. You got to understand that anatomy, physiology, and know what it means historically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when in the course of an injury do you do what? When you're in the acute recovery phase, do you do the same thing that you would do as 6 months later when you're recovering from the chronic effects of an injury?
I would hope not.
No, I would hope not. Also, because you're going to injure them more.
Uh-huh.
You're going to do more damage. And then again, an understanding of functional lymphatic stimulation and drainage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another set of competency that has to be vetted. It has to be judged and evaluated and certified.
Because let's face it, there are a lot of ideas, there are a lot of schools of thought on proper lymphatic drainage and health, and a lot of them involve herbs to clean out the lymphatic system, and a lot of them involve massaging the lymph nodes, and others involve brushing. But when you get down to the nitty-gritties about the actual anatomy and physiology of the lymphatic system, it's a very brisk, abrupt, mechanical work that needs to happen.
Right. So you're either going to use that externally. Well, you know what? A supplicant that I spoke to not too long ago was post-polio syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So you understanding the diseases, you've got this whole long list of things that are now going through your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the commonalities in post-polio syndrome, her naturopath, or rather, not a naturopath, so one of these newfangled, what do they call them? Medical doctor that's gone a little bit natural. They're called.
Oh.
There's a new name for them.
Functional medicine.
Functional medicine.
Functional medicine doctor.
Functional medicine medical doctor who decided she needed to take pokerot. Pokeberry juice.
Good.
For the lymph. Pokeberry juice for the lymph.
Why?
Everybody knows that poke clears the lymph. Didn't you know that?
No, it doesn't.
Poke clears the lymph.
No, it doesn't.
Well, yeah, it does. Everybody knows this. It's in all the books.
Okay, bye-bye.
So you need to give somebody with post-polio syndrome a poisonous plant to drink and throw her into cleansing crisis and lots of vomiting. And I'll tell you what, if you're going through the structural adjustment that is the act of vomiting, yes, you're going to clear the intestinal lymph just by the muscular activity of the abdomen.
Well, you're being more specific, too. You said the lymphatics. Now you're saying the intestinal lymphatics.
Well, I
can give you a basic laxative for that.
Well, not really, because the lymphatics drains into the bloodstream.
Correct.
Right?
It's not the lymphatics. It doesn't dump into the intestines at all.
It's literally change of the pressure on the outside of that system that causes it to change shape, that creates the pumping action that goes up into the subclavian valve and into the bloodstream. So there you have it. There's anatomy and physiology that nobody learns, but they're all talking about lymph drainage out there. Our practitioners learn through practice, but also because they're shoulder to shoulder with people who know the score. They know what is real. This is not bragging.
No.
Well, I guess it is bragging.
It is
about ourselves.
Bragging. Yeah.
But it is what competence is. And if you ain't got it, you ain't got it.
And that's why we call it functional lymphatic stimulation and drainage.
Right. It's functional. It's not faddish.
No.
It's not a cunning plan to sell pokerot or poke berries, which are to be used very cautiously on anybody, let alone a post-polio patient, okay? E.K. Pates, these are structural physiopathic reconditioning modalities. E.K. Pates is restorative musculoskeletal reconditioning, functional lymphatic stimulation and drainage. E.K. Hunsit is the topical medicines, the liniments, salves, lotions, and essential oils that assist.
All of those we learn about in plant medicine.
It's plant medicine.
Elas Coat Kunset teaches us how to apply them while in a clinical or ceremonial setting.
Right. Very good. E.K. Heptatset. Heptatset is actually a verb that says to beat the drum. So we're talking about beating the medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's essentially the same thing as beating the drum. We're talking about things like pulsed electromagnetic field stimulation, microcurrent cranial stimulation, microcurrent neuromuscular stimulation. Mm-hmm. You're actually beating the drum. It's a little different drumstick, but it's still beating the drum.
Instead of using sonic waves, we're using pulsed electromagnetic waves.
Right, and we could also use sonic waves. You can put...
And
a
sound
therapy.
Times we do.
Yeah, you can use recorded sound therapy and binaural and nested frequencies in music, and it's very, very effective. Mm-hmm. Music has been used indigenously
for a long, long time.
Thousands of years.
Thousands of years, yeah. Hayat Zion Ministry. Now, this is a little bit different. Your naturopaths out there are probably not going to get much of this sort of thing. This is actually the physical retraining, the fitness retraining that it takes to get well from illness or injury. You will, the Nemenha minister in naturopathy and physiopathy ends up with real hands-on competence in fitness retraining for injury, fitness retraining for cardiolipo recovery, fitness retraining for general lifestyle recovery, diet retraining for fitness, specifically to this fitness thing,
yeah.
And also martial arts for self-discipline in obtaining those. So there's a level of, I have to say, a level of competence that is not attainable in any other school. Here's another one. Well, I don't know if it's attainable or not. It is. I'm jumping ahead, but let's go back. Elotsquat Isipat, acupressure, mm-hmm. stone and crystal healing, applied Si Nem and Qigong. These are beating the drum in another way.
Yeah.
Literally, it is Haptatset, but it's just, it has some penetrative elements.
Our bodies are stones and crystals. The practitioner element becomes the drum.
Yeah, it becomes, but it's also penetrative. Mm-hmm. It goes deeper than beating the drum skin. Now you are beating the drum deeply into the body,
mm-hmm.
moving energies really deeply. And so,
and it takes a lot of individual self-discipline to be able to do that, a lot of training to do that.
You have the competence, but it may not be something that every practitioner even uses in their office.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something that you will not get anywhere else. Wind walking, the Sahaptin guided meditation. Now, this counteracts the chronic fight or flight stress hormonal cascade, helps to counteract that mm-hmm. cascade, retrains and initiates rest and rebuild hormone cascade, mm-hmm. retrains psychospiritual pattern language that could be causing problems going forward. They could be deep-seated from the past. They cause problems going forward. This retrains that language. It alleviates depression and chronic pain, especially head pain. Facilitates psychospiritual retribalization, reconnection with tribe.
Which is what we're finding extremely useful in depression.
Oh, sure, because of the disconnected nature
yep.
of our culture. Retribalizing means finding connection and association again with culture, with a culture that's meaningful.
Depression and addiction. I was going to add addiction.
And addiction. Addiction. Finally, the Sahaptin Medicine Wheel Counseling. This is emotional, spiritual, behavioral, emotional stress evaluation, dysfunctional lifestyle assessment, sacred lifestyle coaching, functional cognitive retraining, critical decision making. These are areas of competence that are vetted, that the experts are able to stand side by side with the student in a residency program and watch them and guide them and direct them so that by the end of the year of their residency and their apprenticeship, they have had copious opportunities to gain competence in all of this. And by the time they finish the year of their journeyman, more. Copious opportunities, much more than I ever got coming out of college, and then moving forward in the master to obtain the doctorate level, gaining modalities. With each of the modalities, there is case study and residence competence vetting, so that at the end of the period, by the time you get to the doctorate, when the university is ready to sign off, you have all those people, those experts that have vetted, that have verified and have certified, and they all
know you.
Yeah, they all know you. They work directly with you, whether it's in the office
mm-hmm.
or whether it's over Skype training. Because there's a cool issue that you know, something that coming from when I come from.
Yeah, this wasn't available to this degree even, you know, 6-7 years ago.
No, but now I can sit in my office and I can mentor somebody 2,000 miles away with a case study in their office. And it's the same as being in the same office. It's simply amazing. So this whole program can be done
at a distance.
At a distance, and then come together at certain
mm-hmm.
points to finish. But the residency still happens because of Skype technology. So these things are ongoing. These are the things that we require in Nemenha training. There's apprenticeship,
which is an internship. Here again, residency training. There's hands-on under the direction of a master. There's one other element that you do not find in other training programs that I have to underscore. And this may be a little mercenary, I don't know, but you gotta, you know, one of the key issues is that when you come out of any other school with your diploma, you know, pinned to your chest, you hit the ground running supposedly with all these dreams and all these good plans and all this competence supposedly, and you don't have a soul out there. You've got to put your sign out and maybe advertise, or you're starting completely over and you're broke. You've been working that part-time because you've been going to school, or you've been working those two jobs or those three jobs because you've been going to school, but it's not in the field that you're studying.
Nope.
You're brand new and you're broke when you get your degree and hit the ground. And that is a big obstacle. And of course, you're supposed to pay your dues, right? You're not worthy to practice unless you have spent 10 years making minimum wage or building up to $40,000 or $50,000. You're a success as a naturopath if you're making $55,000, and that just sucks. Because of the automatic residency nature of the Nemenha program, of the Nemenha, the University of Nemenha graduate program, it's an automatic supplicant base generator. Not only are you in residency training with real people, with real experts, but you are building your supplicant base, your clientele, so to speak, in another language.
Yeah.
So that when you hit the ground, you are already in a career path ministry, already making money. In fact, during the course of your residency, you get to where you are making an income greater than most naturopaths, than many, many naturopaths across the country, and you're not even out of school yet. So here's a program that pays you to finish your schooling. It pays you to get your degree. It pays you. And then to boot, you can decide to go out on your own and build your own client and build your own clinic or healing center or mm-hmm. ministry or whatever you want to call it. We would prefer you call it ministry because that really is what it is. But you can go out on your own and be an independent. Or in the Nemenha program, because you're in residency and because you're actually being paid to go to school, we would prefer that you take placement, a secure salaried position in the Nemenha Healing Center's annexes. We would prefer that. And many, many, many of our students will do that because who goes to school? Very few. I mean, I don't know any of the other schools that pay you to go.
Oh, no, no.
In any way, you don't get paid to go to school unless you have to pay it back, right? this is a gainful education, gainful employment, gainful education.
Yeah.
But also you hit the ground with your competence, with your degree, and with a gainful employment doing what you learned to do in college. That isn't found anywhere else, but it's an automatic because of the way the program is structured. It is automatic. It's not an idle or empty promise.
No. And that's not to say that the program is free and we're just paying people to take the program. There are tuitions involved. There are payment and fee structures involved that the students must commit to. But inbuilt in the program is a revenue stream for the apprentices themselves.
Yeah, we thought about this. You got to have case studies in the apothecary, the plant medicine part of it. For example, in the apprenticeship, you've got to have 25 case studies that you see twice. So that's 50 visits. According to our own statistics, people don't come to talk to you, or you don't get people to talk to you as a case study or as a supplicant unless they want some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're actually talking to the people that you know, family, friends, associates, and you know who needs help. They want help too. So they universally walk away with an Akect Apothecary custom sacramental supplement.
Mm-hmm.
The apprentice is the one that gains from that supplement.
Mm-hmm.
They get the money paid for that sacrament. They, not the college, not the minister, but they get from their own case studies, they walk away with those, and they'll go on for months because the people will take the time on the protocol to get well. Then in the journeyman, again, 25 more case studies. See them twice. There's got to be a follow-up.
Yep.
Here again, you've got 50 people on the ground in your supplicant base when you come out of school, 50 people, and all the people that they know as well, that you will lace, that you will network, because when they get well, they're going to tell people, and they're going to come to the journeyman. By the time they're master, they hit the ground with an already built up supplicant base, and therefore a gainful employment, a very gainful employment at the point where they hit the ground with their certificate. There's no other program in the country. I don't know if there's a program in the world that's put together this way. And the reason it's put together this way is because we were those people.
Yes.
Who have the certificate and all the hubris and broke, you know.
In debt.
Still in debt.
Yep.
You know, we have to look at that and say, what are the flaws in the overall program? What really are the flaws? And how can the University of Nemenha
mitigate some of that?
Yeah, how can we undo? How can we remake this profession? Because frankly, the profession is screwed up. This profession should not be allopathy based upon that model. It should be based upon old-style natural medicine. So again, I want to reiterate, this is a program that pays the student while they're a student because their case studies need to get well. And they get paid, the students get paid out of their need to get well. That's a beautiful automatic income.
Mm-hmm.
Also, through the course of the apprenticeship and the journeyman, they create a supplicant base. They have their clientele. When they get out of school, they're not hitting the ground and now saying, oh no, I can't make my car payment.
Right. As an apprentice, you're operating on the student's operating under the supervision of a master, either in person in one of the healing centers or over Skype in person, either way. Apprentice is making the medicines prescribed by the master.
Right. They make the apprentice is making those medicines. Those sacraments. The journeyman is making those sacraments.
And as a journeyman, they get to take a bigger part in the visits and the assessments themselves.
Exactly.
As a master, all of the supplicants they have collected as case studies
are theirs.
Over the course of their training, step right out of the master's care and into the new master's care.
Right. You carry them with you. They are your clientele. The beauty of this program, I mean, it's very streamlined, very functional, and solves so many of the problems. So then you're a master apothecary, and you are uniquely prepared for the process of gaining the other modalities necessary for the doctorate. And again, you've got case studies. Again, you're building clientele. By the time you are the naturopath or the physiopath in ministry, you have a large clientele, and you're not making a small income. You are making a very, very comfortable, desirable ministerial income.
Yeah, by the time a student has completed the master apothecary program, they have that very comfortable income. They have the means, without going into debt, they have the means to continue their education into a Nemenha doctor.
Right. They're not taking out loans at all. They don't have to. And their cash flow, their means is either actually taking their surplus and continuing their education.
Right.
It's a beautiful program. It's just a beautiful program.
And their supplicant base continues to build. And as a master, they then become caretakers of a base of apprentices themselves.
Right. As masters, they become the master. They then begin to teach the apprentices, and the program builds itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we repopulate the nation with real competence, step by step, beginning with real competence, teaching real competence, and then sending real competence forth. So in order to get involved in this, we are now taking applications for the fall winter semester. We are interested in new applicants, new apprentices. We would like to see 20 new apprentices get started on their program as soon as possible.
And we can take these apprentices at a distance through a specialized correspondence and video Skype calling set up. We have special programs specifically for that.
Right,
or
right.
For those who are local here in the Springfield or the surrounding area.
You come right in.
Come right, right to the offices here.
Right.
And work with the masters directly.
Now, if you're 1,000 miles away and you're working on your program over Skype on your laptop with your case studies side by shoulder to shoulder with the master on the other side of the, you know, it's like being in the same office with the master. That program will require that you come out and take some actual residency, but it's not going to be like 2 years of residency. Mm-hmm. It's going to be your finishing. So it's extremely doable, extremely doable. If you would like to be part of this program, either at a distance, because it's very simple to do with technology, and we'll teach you how to do that,
yep.
Or right here in the Springfield, Missouri region, just go to uninem.org. That's uninem.org, uninem.org. Or call 417-808-0538. That's 417-808-0538. Let me go over the key points again that I really want to underscore in this program. Number one, residency is king. Competence
is king.
And the only way to really demonstrate competence, and I mean in a meaningful way, mm-hmm. is to either go work under a naturopath or a physiopath who is training you because you have your degree.
Mm-hmm.
This does not mean go work under a naturopath as a receptionist. You know, or don't go push a broom around a naturopath's office for 2 years or 8 years or how many ever years. That is not what we're talking about. This is a residency program under naturopath and physiopath ministers.
We're talking formal residency programs.
Yeah.
Formal acknowledged residency.
Yeah. That's how we do it here. It's an automatic residency program. The program is built so that you have no choice. It is automatic. At the same time as you are doing all your book learning, you are in a qualified, certified residency program that is vetted and verifiable.
And I'm here to tell you the Skype conferencing, the Skype training counts entirely as residency for apprentices because of the actual presence of the master in the operation itself.
That's it. It's just, because of technology, you're in the same office anyway. Okay. Case study with a master. That's such a huge issue.
Yes.
Huge issue. Automatic supplicant-based building. I've got to ask you again. What other program anywhere automatically builds your client base? Automatically, so that you don't end up with a degree but no career path. Certified competence. We talked about that already. But a built-in generator, an income generator. I mean, even while you're in school, this generator, this automatic supplicant base building element of the program is also automatically crunching away, making you an income so that well before you're finished with your program, you have paid all your program off.
Mm-hmm.
And well before you're finished, even with the apprenticeship, you're making three times what you could make at that part-time job you would normally work while you're going to university.
And if a student did the absolute barest minimum that the program requires, they still pay for their education.
It's
just doing the minimum that the program requires.
Yeah, they pay for it,
mm-hmm.
but they get paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the beauty of this program is amazing.
It ends up paying for itself effectively.
It does, and no other program out there does it.
No.
And it is not because you're getting commissions from some corporation.
No.
It's because you are making the medicine yourself. With every single one of these, you are gaining absolute competence in the making of the medicines. I can't stress that more. enough. I just cannot stress that enough. The old way, you had to be able to make the medicines and the doctors, you had to be able to make the drugs. And even the old-time naturopaths were allowed to call their medicine drugs. We call them sacraments because it's part of our ministry.
Correct, yeah.
But it is really, really important to be able to make them, and not only to have the intellectual property, to have, okay, I learned about that, because everybody does learn about it. You can go buy a book on how to make herbal medicines. I've got a million. I don't have a million of them, but
we can direct you to the best.
I probably have six of them in my own library. I like to read about how people make medicines. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go on the internet, on YouTube, and learn how to make a tincture, right? You can learn how to make anything.
I've seen a lot of incorrect ways to make a tincture.
Well, there's a lot of correct ones, but yeah. How to make the medicine specific to a sufferer's needs is not the same as making a general batch of this,
right,
or a general batch of that. Cannot emphasize this too much. The apothecary is a pharmacist, a real green pharmacist, someone who knows what to do, how to do it, how long to do it, what to change when it needs to be changed, who to do it for, and why to do it.
And it's a service that no one else, there is no competition for this apothecary.
No
one provides a service like this in, as far as I've been able to tell, the whole country.
I've looked and looked and I can't find it.
I
can find people who are making commissions, piddling little work your tail off commissions, selling for bottled pill companies.
Yeah, the closest I've been able to come to a genuine apothecary operation are individuals with what they call are apothecaries, with bulk herbs and specific formulas. So they'll sell the bulk to people who want the bulk stuff,
right,
but they still have their preferred formulas for different afflictions.
For conditions and afflictions.
Yeah.
You come in and you say,
very general,
I have a sore throat. They give you Mr. Sore Throat.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer Jonathan. You are Mr. Sore Throat. And you go away with your bottle that says sore throat. That is not an apothecary.
No.
That is not an apothecary, not in the old sense, not in the new sense. But the Nemenha graduate has extreme competence. Extreme. It's triple X competence.
It's unparalleled. And we're seeing that all over the place.
Yeah, it's not found anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not found anywhere. So where we are now, we have offices here in Springfield. We will be doing initial trainings,
mm-hmm,
here. We will be doing our applicant interviews, and we'll begin actual case studies right here in Springfield this fall. So get on board for a certificate for competence training. Get on board with our apothecary program, the apprenticeship, the journeyman, and the master, preparatory to learning to actually be or gaining a competence in the modalities of naturopathy and physiopathy. We have programs available now for the fall and winter. Contact us at uninem.org. That's U, N as in Nancy, I, N as in Nancy, E, M, M, that's M, not as in Nancy, but as in Mary. Let's do that again. UNINEM, uninem.org. Now, how does that work? Uninem, by the way, stands for University of Nemenha. So uninem.org. Get on that and contact us through the email,
mm-hmm,
the info,
yeah,
info at uninem, or call us. This will go direct to scheduling, 417-808-0538 for an appointment to come in and apply in person,
mm-hmm,
and to get set in your program. That's 417-808-0538. Again, I want to emphasize, since we have a little time left over, the key points. Competence is king. Competence is a key point. You're,
yeah,
getting real competence that is vetted through residency program, case study, and vetted residency.
And
amazing program.
Yeah, we're talking about vetted residency programs vetted by easily the most competent naturopathic and physiopathic doctors in the country.
Yeah, that wasn't very humble.
It is totally
but
true.
It's totally true.
It is totally true.
But
Dr. Joan Schrader, our
One of the regions.
What a great example.
The University of Nemenha has worked diligently for a couple of years building our what's called Schrader Plant Medicine. And she is a naturopathic doctor, certified, a diplomate in a different naturopathic school, natural healing school, very similar to how you did through different schools. And again, highly unsatisfied with
terribly,
the education
terribly
she had
frustrated.
Made. Really, it was faddish in her opinion. It was not very functional. And it was basically designed to sell products even at the naturopathic degree level.
Pill pusher, yeah.
So what she did is she went through and she charted what was missing in the program she took for thousands of dollars.
Right.
For over, you know, $13,000-$14,000. The programs that the topics she didn't get covered. And she has meticulously crafted a comprehensive plant medicine curriculum.
Now, you look at this curriculum that she has put together for just the plant medicine. Now, this would be the herbology course that you would take in a naturopathic college. Her course in plant medicine reads like a course in naturopathy. It's not just a course in plant medicine. It is the comprehensive understanding of all things plant medicine. It's an amazing curriculum. Amazing. So there's one great example of a naturopathic doctor who came up against incompetence in the industry, in the profession. Same thing that I feel. I feel very, very unsatisfied and very disappointed. Really, I have to be honest with you, very disappointed in the education that I received. Very disappointed. And so when I finished, I had to go back and obtain much more education and much more competence before I felt comfortable calling myself a doctorate at a doctorate level. And I think everybody feels that. And the given understanding out there is, well, you got to pay your dues. You're going to have to get out there and, you know, hit the asphalt and see people and learn through actually working with people. There's a quid pro quo there. That is that the people that you see to gain your competence before you have competence, you may be injuring. You know, and where is the responsibility there? There's my question that I have for all of you practitioners. While you're out there paying your dues, you know, and getting competence by seeing people, where is the responsibility in actually calling yourself a doctor, calling yourself a practitioner, calling yourself a professional when you're actually still in school, aren't you? At the possible detriment to the people that are providing your education. I don't think there's any responsibility in there. It's certainly not moral, and it's certainly not ethical. It's even a little bit fraudulent, if you ask me, to call yourself something for the sake of being able to get competence out of it. That's a fad, and it's a scheme, and it's not very nice. So in the Schrader Plant Medicine curriculum, the apothecary gains tremendous competence and gains an income, gains a clientele, gains so much. Built-in income generator is one thing that just isn't provided by anybody anywhere.
And becomes a member in a community of the most competent fellows in the field anyone could hope for in this industry.
Oh, right. That's how we become the vanguard. The vanguard. We Nemenha are the vanguard for the... I'm reading from the sheet here. We Nemenha are the vanguard for the restoration of the sacred in natural healing. And we really do invite you to come and be part of it with us. Be part of it with us by contacting us at uninim.org. Here I am beating that dead horse again. uninim.org. There is a contact us button. There's an email. It'll come up and you write your email and you will actually get to communicate with a real person, not a robot. We don't use those because we hate them, for one thing. I hate it when a robot calls me and I will never send a robot out to talk to anybody else. And or you can call. There again, that's uninim.org on the website, or www, by the way. I keep forgetting to say that. You got to put your www.uninim.org.
Half the websites now don't even have that.
Really? Well, I'm behind the times, aren't I? see how up on this I am, or call personally, 417-808-0538. Now, that will get you right directly into Chief Wellamutkin, who happens to be handling this branch of or this promotional for the fall and winter semester. You will be scheduled right in for an appointment, either by Skype or right here in the office to get started. 417-808-0538. Now, we're broadcasting. This is an internet radio program, so we're broadcasting everywhere. But we're here sitting in our office at A Pathway to Healing in Springfield, Missouri. Call us, and we'll tell you how to get here. Pretty centrally located, easy to find, and we can get started on your program. Did you have anything else you wanted to add? We're coming up about 9 minutes, 10 minutes, the end of the show.
Just for anybody who might be listening that's local, same day, Tuesdays, after the radio show here at A Pathway to Healing, we do use the conference room every evening, every Tuesday evening, for guided meditation sessions. That's the Hapton Windwalking. Every Tuesday night here in Springfield, if you happen to be local.
If you're local, yeah. That, you know, I forget to mention what we're actually doing here in the off hours. We have some pretty fun activities going on. We have some time to talk about it. You know, when I get on the microscope and I have a supplicant, I have supplicants that come in and we look deeply within with the microvideography, mm-hmm. and I can tell you right now, 40 to 45%, somewhere in the middle there, of them will have heavy metals toxicity. Those heavy metals that we can see under the microscope and in the videography is, you know, things like aluminum. Aluminum is the most common. 40-some-odd percent of people will be toxic, will have the metals glaring at them right there. And normally, your naturopath, trained in any of the other schools, is going to reach back and pull down a product that has chelate. It's got a lot of algae and got a lot of green this and a lot of green that. And the plants...
Maybe
can,
some EDTA.
No, not in, not necessarily.
The Castle EDTA is very popular on the market.
It may be, but not very many of us use it. But, you know, the naturopaths, the ones I like to call naturopaths, are going to reach back for plants that have sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we try to send people home with an aquaponics unit that they grow in their own home, and all the plants that grow out of that unit day in, day out, that they're eating from every mm-hmm. single day, are laden with sulfur, because we put the sulfur right in the water that feeds the plants. We use animals, aquatic animals in the unit that tolerate the sulfur,
mm-hmm.
and they keep the system going, and the bacteria that are involved that feed the plants, the nitrates, have to have those little animals. But it's an amazing program, an amazing system, where you can actually eat a handful of your chelate instead of swallowing a handful of dry herbs with their gelatin capsules.
That's the topic for another show.
It is.
Wait,
we
already covered it.
Yeah, we covered it a little bit, but you know, thinking about that in terms of your healing experience, usually you think of aquaponics as a kind of a gardening show.
A hobby. Most people think of it as a hobby.
Yeah, but you know, we want to send people home with radical self-reliant healing.
For us, it's medicine.
It's medicine. So you've got your aquaponics unit, you walk past it, you take a bite every time you walk past the dang thing. You are automatically getting your chelate that you would normally spend hundreds, even thousands of dollars for. But here you have a beautiful thing in your own home growing your own medicine. Same thing applies to probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody in our present dietary society and culture really needs to be supplementing their probiotic. But did you know that you could grow your own totally balanced probiotic specific to your body and your needs right in your own home with an aquaponics unit? We don't reach back to the shelf behind us and pull out a bottle of, you know, milk paste or milk base, sugar base probiotic with, you know, anywhere from 4 to 16.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, you get the of the organisms. We actually grow the probiotic with starter that has thousands of different species and trillions upon trillions of viable organisms.
Mm-hmm.
the very balance of the soil. And so here in two areas, our apothecary joins in association with Plant Healing, with the permaculture group, Permico, and that's how our practitioners are really members of settlements, or actually villages, virtual villages, communities of healers working together. Because imagine that, if you could correct your diet, or go a long way to correcting your diet, and get your metals out, and balance your probiotic, your internal biota, what an incredible opportunity to send some healing home with the sufferer. And still, you know, that really is part of the responsibility of the doctor, isn't it? The minister in natural medicine has a responsibility to also teach, not just treat.
Well, the industry would disagree with you, but in Nemenha, we target causation.
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
And it goes the same with our guided meditation and our wind walking sessions for people here in Springfield. Psychology has told us that we can think stress away, that we can change our mentality and our attitude, and the stressors will simply not affect us the same way. Science is telling us, science and physiology is telling us that that's been a whole lot of bull crap. Gobbledygook for the past 60, 70 years.
Yeah, it's just it's bunk. It's been debunked.
And so, and it's still being touted by psychology everywhere.
It's being touted by naturopaths everywhere. It's being touted by doctors everywhere.
But it's not held up by physiology. It's not held up by the science, the chemistry of the fight or flight response. Wind walking is not designed to prevent stressors from triggering a fight or flight response the way so many schools of thought on meditation and relaxation focus. Wind walking is focused on bringing the body out of a state of fight or flight after it's already there and into the state of rest and rebuild.
Planned rest and rebuild.
Yeah.
Planned rest and rebuild. And it's called wind walking because you don't just lay there and contemplate what would be good about the world. You actually walk into a better world. You walk into the mental pattern language that you need in your life to create a better world around you. And that's Sahepton Windwalking. We do that every Tuesday right after this internet radio show right here in Springfield. So if you're local, come on down and join with us at a Pathway to Healing that's right off of, it's in the Tower Shopping Center, but you'll turn left on Cherokee, or turn east on Cherokee. Whether that's right or left, you turn east on Cherokee off of Glenstone, and you're a couple of doors away. Just look up for Pathway to Healing, and you'll find us there. Or call if you're interested. We really want you to be interested in our Apothecary Apprenticeship and Journeyman Master Program. Call 417-808-0538. Sure, it's been nice to talk to you. It's been great to be able to have this conversation. I hope that you all enjoyed it. And please visit with us again on next Tuesday, when we will revisit some other topics and issues that we find important in natural healing. This is Chief Cloud Byler and
Chief Wella Mutkin.
And we say to you good night, and thank you for being here, and walk safe.
Walk safe, green. Yep.